We continue to look at abiding in Christmas, and we have examined a number of individuals. We've looked at, I believe, two men, two women, and now we're going to look at the angels and the shepherds. Luke chapter 2. Amazing moment takes place here, and we start at verse 8. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds lying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" Let's say that together. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Wow. "So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." Let's stop there. This is the very first announcement, if you will, this is the very first proclamation of the good news. This is the first time it's being preached. Jesus is the Messiah. And we're talking about an amazing message that is brought by one angel, backed up by literally thousands. Angels are cool. Can you say amen to that? I don't know if you've ever seen an angel, but they're very different than us. Contrary to Hollywood, angels are not us. They don't look like us. Now, they can take on a form that may appear like us, but I know this is hard to believe, but Hollywood isn't always right. Just really bursts your bubble, doesn't it, to know that? Angels live in a world that the Bible calls the invisible. That's why we don't see them. But every now and then they appear in the visible world, the realm that we live in. They're mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. So they get a lot of mention. There's a lot of conversation about them. They obviously can take form that we can see, but they don't require bodies for their existence. Some even have wings. How cool is that? Some even have six wings. And some even have their wings covered with eyes. How weird is that? Now, we know from Scripture that these heavenly beings are very connected to us and what God is doing. They are very much a part of the redemptive plan that Jesus has for us. Matter of fact, in 1 Peter, it tells us as an example, it says, "Even angels long to look into these things." What are these things? The redemptive plan that God has for us as mankind. Now, we know that angels are servants of God Almighty. They do whatever the Lord directs. Some are guardians. We call them guardian angels. Some watch over the larger picture, the church, nations. Others are messengers like Gabriel that bring a powerful word. And some are members of the worship team in heaven. So there's quite a variety of responsibilities that they have, different things. And their entire existence is to glorify God. Can you imagine that? All they are about is to glorify God. Now, I thought it was interesting when I was studying this that as you read scriptures, how many times do we hear God loves us? A lot. How many times do we hear God loves angels? Not once. Now we know God says he loves all of his creation. But I want you to connect with the fact that as amazing, as special, and as kind of, awesome angels are, God speaks about us differently. That's how special you are. That God would declare in his word over and over again his love for us, his creation, more than he would declare anything else. He created angels. They are intelligent. They are emotional. They are relational. Matter of fact, they live in heaven they live according to God's commands, according to God's laws. We know that when they look and watch us, they are saddened, the scripture says. They're even, if you will, I'll use this word, horrified by the suffering of mankind. It really gets them. Now, we know that they're capable of choice. One of the angels, Lucifer, made a choice to rebel and reject God. And of course, we know what happened to him. He became Satan, got kicked out, and hell was created. Hell was created for Lucifer and those who would follow him, thousands, a third of the angelic beings would fall. Hell was designed for them. God did not design that for you. His intent for all of us is to be with him in heaven. But let me make it clear. You have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only way. Angels are very interesting. We could go on and on about them. That's just a taste. Now, the shepherds. Think about shepherds. Shepherds at this time, we tend to, I think, elevate them at Christmas. Shepherds are like really cool. And I agree they are in plays and things, but back then, being a shepherd was not cool. Being a shepherd was like having the worst job around because this was a job nobody else really wanted, and there was a lot of negative things spoken of about shepherds. I mean, they took care of livestock, cleaned up after livestock. They were the bottom of the social structure at this time. This was a job that was dirty, dangerous, uncomfortable. No one wanted to do it. This is the job you gave the youngest kid to, right? Remember David. Like he was the youngest. Here, you go. We don't know what to do with you. Go out and take care of the sheep. I mean, what kind of an ugly job that is. I mean, you got to realize back then they had no tents. They had no, they didn't have any of the kinds of equipment we have today. No sleeping bags. They didn't have freeze-dried food. They didn't have any of the kinds of things that we would see as somehow creating some comfort. They lived a pretty rough life because they were out there 24/7. I thought it was interesting that God gives us this very first message, if you will, with this amazing polarity. The angels, the angelic beings from heaven, at the same time, the lowest at that time of mankind, the shepherds. I've learned God does nothing by accident. And I believe God's message is absolutely clear, that he would start, if you will, with the bottom and work all the way up, because he cares about all of mankind. And I think it's interesting to know, too. Now, again, I hope you realize this. Jesus was not born on December 25th. We got that. He was probably born spring during the time of Passover. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't celebrate, remember the fact that he was born here on Christmas. That is cool. But the fact is he was born. I want you to understand something. This is another reason why the shepherds heard this amazing news. The shepherds were taking care of the sheep that would become the sacrifices at Passover. And the declaration, listen, of the Lamb of God went to the men caring for the lambs that would be slain. God does nothing by accident. And so this powerful message would come to these shepherds as they watched over the lambs and would come in this declaration. And I love what the shepherds did. Well, that's really great. Let's just keep taking care of the sheep. No, they went to go find this baby. They told others about what the angels had said. They went out. They were so excited about, wow, look at this amazing message. And out they go. What a contrast to the religious leaders of their time. See, the shepherds demonstrate what it means to abide in Christmas. It means to get excited about what's happened. It's about passion. It's about the commitment. It's about getting hold of the truth of what's really just taking place and not somehow ignoring it or somehow pulling away from it, but declaring it. Jesus, born. He's alive. What an amazing message. And we know the contrast because Matthew tells us what happens. Chapter 2, verse 3, King Herod, right? Pretty upset about what's going on here. Whole another part of the story. He's disturbed, obviously, when he hears about this other king of the Jew being born, and we know what he does. He goes out to kill the babies. And as was everyone in Jerusalem, so he called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of religious law and asked them, so where is the Messiah supposed to be born? Well, I don't know. The angels didn't come and talk to me. No, look what they said. They knew exactly. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. They acknowledge the fact that they knew. Did they go to Bethlehem? No. Let me remind you, Bethlehem was not a big deal. It was a very small little village that you could have gone there, you and I, and we could have seen every house and checked out every square inch of that place in a couple hours. And let me tell you something else. There weren't a lot of babies being born at that time. And the few that were, we could have gone and checked out every single one of those births and found out exactly what was happening. They did not move, but the shepherds did. We have to decide, are we going to abide in Christmas? Are we going to get excited about and passionate about the fact that Jesus, the Christ, was born for all of mankind and not somehow let it settle like, yeah, here we go again, another Christmas. Well, can't wait till this Christmas is done. Hope it's a little different this year. And somehow we miss out on this amazing message. I know it's like to be uncomfortable. I was at Costco getting gas. And, you know, there was a guy right there, and we both had trucks. My truck was better. And he acknowledged it. He said, wow, it's a cool truck. I said, yeah. And we started talking. And he was very happy that his truck had 290,000 plus miles on it. And I told him, so, well, how many miles you got ours? And on mine, I said, oh, you know, barely 100. He said, oh, you're just warming up. I said, I hope so. And then I thought, wow, God, we're talking. A total stranger. I like this. And I said, how's your Christmas? Well, the good thing we were just gassing up. Because it wasn't so good. And I said, well, it's okay, can I pray for you? A total stranger. And he goes, would you? Totally. And he never even asked me what I did. So, what an amazing opportunity. At Costco's gas station. I mean, do you do ministry there? Yes. If you abide in Christmas. There is something that God can use us in. You see, abiding in Christmas is abiding in the today of Christmas. If you will, the Word of God saying it's time sensitive. You get anything in the mail that says, open the envelope, time sensitive? right? You get those advertisements because they want you to put, you know, get the credit card, and they always put time sensitive, like it's really important. Well, I want you to know Christmas and abiding in it is, in fact, time sensitive. The greatest event took place. And it's for you and I to learn to trust in and abide in the Lord right now. Enjoying the present moment right now, rather than comparing today to something of yesterday or something that you think might happen. I want you and I to learn what it means to abide and stop trying to relive something that just doesn't need to be relived. Can you say amen to that? I had someone talk to me about, wow, I want to bring back the 70s of the Jesus movement. Ah. No. God, no. And I received Jesus in the 70s. I'm excited for a move of God, but I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forward. And there's too many believers who are stuck looking behind rather than looking ahead. See, abiding in the Lord means that we abide in what God is doing right now, and we appreciate and are thankful for what God is doing right now. And that's the word of the Lord. And there's some times when you need to do something. Put aside some of the other stuff. You know what? It's okay to shelve the stress. It's okay to put away some of the things that are going on that are not going to be resolved. It's okay to take that situation and put it in a box and stick it up on a shelf and shut the door and give yourself a break. Can you say amen to that? Nothing says you have to leave that thing open in front of you all the time. And too many of us get trapped doing that. There's a lot of things you have no control over. It's not going to change. There are a lot of things that happen in the events of the world, the events of around us. But we can choose to be different. We can choose. I cannot stop the fact that shepherds were shepherds, but they made a choice to rejoice. They made that choice to celebrate, even though life wasn't all that great. You know, the word here being used has this amazing Greek word. It has a lot of meaning called keros. Keros is a time that describes an appointment, a specific moment. It can be an opportunity, a season, a specific appointed time. It's something that God says, I am giving you an opportunity. I am giving you a season, like a rainy season. I am giving you an opportunity, like Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. See, there's even marriage instruction in that. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. We were created to abide in Christmas in the very presence of God today, right now. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. And the message was, this is the time, right now. The Savior, Christ the Lord, born on planet Earth, and glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And God, when you abide in Him, will change your life. We said goodbye to a good friend, Richard Height, on Friday. I was thinking of some of the things that I've heard from people. He was one of those that said, my life was a mess, but then Jesus gave me purpose. And his years in the beginning wasn't so good, had someone share with me, they appreciated the fact, I had actually several people say to me, thank you for being real. Richard was not a perfect human being. He had lots of flaws, but he received Jesus. And the last 16, 17 years of his life, because of that, was powerful. It was different. He lived for Jesus. And he still made lots of mistakes, but he lived for Jesus. And you knew that. That's what happens when you receive the Lord. I've had someone tell me just not too long ago, I was really lost. Everyone I loved and trusted rejected me, but I found Jesus. I know people live their life in fear. They're afraid. They're afraid of those around them. They're afraid of what's going to happen. But I have to tell you, when you abide in Christmas, when you abide in Jesus, there's release from that fear. When you and I come and take this moment and live right now in the moment, worshiping God, enjoying a message, looking at the Word, allowing for ministry to take place, something can happen that is absolutely amazing. It was declared by the angels, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's a very powerful statement. I thought about that. There's a lot of things in here, and this one thing has jumped out at me, peace. What does the Scripture mean by peace? I mean, is now the time for peace? Has God appointed a time for peace? How can we abide in the Lord's peace? I mean, think about it. What might peace mean to someone in the military right now stationed in Iraq or Afghanistan? What might peace mean to a mom of a colicky baby? What might peace mean to the three kids that are always fighting and beating each other up? What might peace mean when you've just lost someone you love? Usually we define it as an end to something, an end to the conflict, an end to the war, an end to the crying, an end to the dispute, an end to no longer feeling sad. Is that the promise of God's peace? In case you're wondering, no. That's not what God's talking about. I want you to know, wars will continue to take place. In the history of mankind, there has never been peace or an absence of war. I want you to know that babies will continue to cry. There is no answer to that. I want you to know that relationships will have problems and people will continue to die. But this verse tells us that we can know something different. Rather than thriving on conflict. Have you ever met someone who likes conflict? They seem to thrive on it. They walk in the door and they have conflict written over them. Yeah, you're nodding your heads. Man, there are people, they walk in the door and you're ready for conflict. They seem to carry that with them. They have that attitude, that self-centeredness, that selfishness. Almost that, there are people that are out to hurt people. I don't get it sometimes. I listened to the news and I made the mistake of turning the news on the other day. And once again, hearing the reports of, the newest crime, right? You're talking on your cell phone. Someone distracts you, someone else comes up and punches you and steals the cell phone so they can go sell it for $100. And apparently that's happening all over now. Why? I mean, I understand it. But how tragic is it that there are human beings who do things like that? I mean, we're very thankful for police officers and others who would try to help protect us, but still, how sad it is that these things happen and we live in a world like that. But I got to tell you something, you don't have to be that way. Self-centeredness and selfishness and self-will, those things can change if you choose to abide in Christ. And you can experience a level of God's peace that is absolutely amazing. You and I can experience something right now, today. You don't have to wait to die. You can experience it now. If you abide in the Lord, you can have peace about yesterday, right? There are things that I know in most every one of us, we can have shame or embarrassment or guilt. And here's the word, abide in the Lord and discover peace for your past. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Here's what I know. You confess the sin, you confess the shame, you confess the failure, and then God brings forgiveness, and then comes God's peace. The word says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You know that? What a great picture. Remember when it snowed the other day? My yard is a mess. My front yard has leaves that need to be raked, branches that need to be picked up, grass that should have been mowed. Kind of like your yards, right? And every now and then I look at it, I walk by and I think, you know, someone ought to clean this place up. Then I think of three boys. But it snowed. And I looked outside and everything was white and beautiful. My yard was perfect. I did not have to go out and clean it up. Even the dog stuff was covered up. God is so good. If only it would have stayed that way. And God says, what I do for you will never melt away. God says you can have peace for yesterday, and you can have peace today. This baby became a man and declared something very powerful in John 14:27. I am leaving you with a gift. Look what it says. Peace of mind and heart. The peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives, so don't be troubled or afraid. God says, I've come in the midst of all the turmoil that we might be facing, all the challenges that come our way. I have come to bring you peace. Let me tell you what that peace is. Here's how I would define it on that Greek word that is used right now. Contentment with a smile. Doesn't mean everything goes away. But there's something that settles inside you, in your heart, in your mind. And you are at a place of contentment and you can smile. Not some arrogant, snobbish smile, but a smile that comes because you know I'm okay because I got Jesus. I'm okay even though things aren't going real well, but I am okay because I've got this amazing Lord and Savior around me, and I can walk in the front door and not beat up everyone in my home. I can walk and do work, and I can do it well even though things aren't going so well because I have the peace of God in me. There's a lot of turmoil inside human beings. And I've learned that over the years. And one of the things that I do sometimes when I'm helping someone, you know, there's lots of addictions that can be very powerful. Alcohol, drugs, sex, gambling, different addictions, right? And every now and then I'll have someone really declare that they've changed, but the family around them isn't so sure, so I have them go take a polygraph exam about every 3 or 4 months. to verify what's really going on. Now, one guy that I've been working with, a sexual addict, who says, man, I'm doing great. I'm doing awesome. I haven't done anything bad for, you know, like a year now. I said, that's awesome. So, and he takes polygraph exam. He said, well, let's check out what's going on. I asked him, how you doing inside your head? Oh, I'm doing great. Really good, Pastor. Thank you. Great. Let's go have a polygraph exam. I got the results back. Things weren't so great. He thought he could deceive the world around him. And I said, okay, what's going on? He just kind of bowed his head, and I can see the tears starting to come down his eyes. He said, I am in such, and he said it this way, turmoil inside my head. I don't know how to get these thoughts out of my brain. I said, could you see the light of God coming in your brain? I said, could you imagine if we could take the top off? What might we see? He said, I think we'd see something ugly on the surface of my brain. I said, well, God's light is like a laser that could just burn it all out. I said, the only way that this is going to change is if you abide in the Lord, really abide in the Lord. That's the kind of peace that can come today. Though we may struggle deeply with the things that are stuck in us, God can give you a clean heart and a clean head if you abide in Him. And you can have peace for tomorrow. The greatest source of anxiety is that we look too much to the future and we play the what-if game. Well, what's going to happen if my company goes under? What's going to happen if I lose my health? What's going to happen if someone passes away? What's going to happen if Boeing leaves Seattle? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And then we become anxious for nothing. Because we think somehow if we start thinking that way, it's going to make a difference. Let me tell you, it's not going to make a difference except create anxiety in you. You see, abiding in the Lord means, God, I trust you for tomorrow. The fact is, bad things do happen to all of us. But dwelling on our fears do nothing to prevent them, other than rob you of some good sleep, your health. I saw an article the other day. I started laughing. Well, it's been verified. Stress causes disease. An Australian laboratory discovered that stress causes disease. Wow. That changed my life. You see, that's what happens when you and I lose sight of today. There's a lot going on today. I look at the planet we live on. It's a scary place. It's an overwhelming place. I am equally frustrated and angry at the human cruelty. I'm angry at the lack of regard for life. I am not happy with the poverty and the injustice. I don't like the fact there are still evil men ruling nations. I don't like the fact that we still have to deal with some really crazy things. But I can have peace. Because that's what Jesus said. He tells us, I have told you these things so that in me, there it is, abiding in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. That is a statement in the Greek. You will continually have trouble. It will not end. That's a, for those of you that are into grammar, that's a linear verb in the Greek that says it keeps going. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Can you say amen to that? The declaration of the angels that a Savior, Christ the Lord, is born. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? Prince of Peace." I believe we don't just have to survive the day, but we can thrive in the day by abiding in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for a gift. The gift of peace. Lord, we've learned that the message that has been given to us and what it means, abiding in Christmas, discovering the peace of God. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Ask God to help you right now. If there's any absence of peace, then ask God to bring peace. You know what's going on in your head, and so does God. So don't hide it. Ask God to help you. Let Him be light in your life. Let Him bring peace. Him and that He has truly saved us, that we have believed and received Jesus as our Savior, can we ever have that gift? And if it's still not there, then you're not abiding in the Lord. And the answer, transition yourself to abide in the Lord. He's come to save us. He has come to totally change who we are. Let Him fill you.